Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Faster by, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 13th of April, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19. That's 21 active cases we have. Nobody in Nobles Hospital. Back to school today. It's safe, but risky, apparently. Is it commuters over residents in Douglas? What does the President Timbal actually do? And Cavs back, and so are the Bee Gees. And today there are 719 people self-isolating on the Isle of Man. Lockdown 3, day 42.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Alex Watton.
Faster Mai, all legal lockdown restrictions are set to be lifted from Monday following another day with no new COVID-19 cases identified. The Chief Minister says the 19th of April will mark 21 days with no unexplained cases. Howard Quayle adds, unless anything concerning happens before then, government intends to lift all restrictions. Businesses are being advised to prepare to reopen. Open, although he says some may choose to keep coronavirus measures in place for longer. And a new lobby group says it's vital taxpayer money is spent wisely on the Isle of Man. The Manx Taxpayers Alliance is campaigning for low and fair taxes, along with increased government transparency. Further afield, and Johnson & Johnson says it's delaying its vaccine rollout in Europe as reports of blood clots in the US are investigated. US officials are calling for a pause in the use of the jab after 6 cases in 6.8 million doses. Number 10 says it's taking a cluster of cases of the South African coronavirus variant in South London very seriously. Residents in Lambeth and Wandsworth are being urged to get a test even if they don't have symptoms. And one of the UK's largest COVID-19 testing providers is planning to almost halve the cost of a PCR test for travel. That's Randox, and it says it will offer it to airline passengers for £60. Those are the news headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gurubaya, thank you, Alex, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. IRC weather indicates no warnings, no problems for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man, partially cloudy this evening with some sun and a light breeze. After dark, dry and clear, and down to 3 degrees. For Wednesday, tomorrow, Jacrain, dry with sunny intervals, isolated showers. Daytime maximum is 10 degrees, clear through the night. Lowest overnight, 3 Celsius. Into Thursday, Jerdain, dry, fine and settled with sunny spells and light winds. Top 11 degrees, and much the same through the weekend. Low water tonight, 25 to 8. Sunset, 60 minutes past 8. High water, 29 minutes to 2 a.m. Sunrise, 20 past 6 tomorrow morning. And the morning low tide, 13 minutes to 8.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674573.
No new cases of COVID-19 for the third day in a row, with lockdown set to be lifted from Monday. Alex Watton is back with the detail.
If nothing concerning happens from now until Monday, the 19th of April, it'll mark 21 days without any unexplained cases of the virus. Currently, the active number of cases stands at 21. The Chief Minister therefore says they're confident of lifting all restrictions from Monday, and they're urging businesses to prepare now to reopen. Howard Quayle has added that some business owners may want to keep coronavirus measures in place for a bit longer, but that decision is down to them. Looking at the vaccination programme, and the total number of vaccine doses administered is now at 63,251. 47,784 of those are first doses, and the remaining 15,400 the second. There are currently 2,296 appointments booked in for the next 7 days.
Schools across the Isle of Man partially reopened today, almost 6 weeks on from the start of lockdown. It's one of the first moves back to normality, but mitigations had to be put put in place. The details from Lewis Foster.
Unfortunately, late last night, a case of coronavirus was detected in a pupil.
That was Education Minister Dr. Alex Allinson 6 weeks ago today, speaking live on Manx Radio's breakfast programme just hours before the Isle of Man's third national lockdown was announced. Well, as the island prepares its cautious exit, schools have partially reopened. Primary schools welcomed back vulnerable pupils today and those whose parents are key workers. Meanwhile, Year 11 and 13 students were invited back in to complete work and assessments needed for their summer grades. Well, teachers went back to work yesterday, putting in all the measures necessary to accommodate the students. At QE2 High School in Peel, the older year groups were split today, Year 11 into thirds and Year 13 into halves, with classes broken up to an hour at a time. Ballycommeen saw 80 students from Year 13 attend throughout the day, a very high percentage, it said, for a move that is, remember, optional. Meanwhile, its 120 Year 11 students were split into two groups of 60 for morning and afternoon lessons. And at Castle Rushen, similar measures were put in place to organise a total of 69 students between both years. And this routine will be in place until at least the end of the week, where it's hoped, with any luck, from the 19th, other year groups can once again get back into the classroom.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
So in light of the return to school for some students, the Education, Sport and Culture Minister was on Manx Radio today. He said it's safe for school children to be back in the classroom, but it is also risky.
I can be absolutely certain that schools are safe, but there is still a risk there. And I think one of the things that we as a community are having to learn to deal with is that risk. As you say, we saw in March the spread of the Kent variant. Now, we've seen that in the United Kingdom, but that came into the island at a time when we had no mitigations here at all. So as you say, it did sweep right through both our schools, our community, but also childcare as well, and disproportionately affected young people. What we're doing this week is building up that resilience, looking again at how we can prevent further infections hitting our island, looking at things like ventilation, looking at face coverings, looking at hygiene, so that as we move into the next stage of our exit framework, we can actually have that confidence that our schools will remain functioning, and we can actually provide that education, which is so important to our students, as well as that well-being and that sense of belonging.
Well, you mentioned staff there. How many teachers are going to be in school, and how many teachers are still going to be focusing on remote learning and working from home as well?
What we've done yesterday is all teachers went back to work after the Easter holidays. Now, obviously, we were also providing remote learning during this week. When we actually reopen all schools, that will obviously stop because teachers will be seeing people face-to-face. Individual head teachers have been allocating different roles for their staff. And again, all the staff in schools are having to follow these mitigation measures. They're wearing masks, they're socially distancing in the staff room. So it is, again, trying to make sure that we establish that safety in schools, but also we deal with the risk. Because as we move forward as a community, we need to start dealing with that risk on an individual basis, making that risk assessment and doing the right things both for us, our family, but also our community.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Good evening. 22 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. The Mananan HSC Mananan left Heysham at 3 minutes past 2. This afternoon whizzed across the Irish Sea. She arrived about 4:30 and will be leaving at 8:45 this evening, heading for Heysham, arriving there at about 11, and the overnight departure 2:15, back at about 4:30 tomorrow morning. Of course, the Fastcraft is doing the passenger trip to Heysham at the moment. Arrow is covering the freight because the Ben McCree is in Camel Laird on the Wirral for her biannual service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Dare we contemplate the possibility of a return of Mark Cavendish to the top step of world sprinting in cycling? 3 years since Mark's last win, 2 wins in 3 stages in the Tour of Turkey. The second today is getting the experts buzzing again. John Moss.
There was a time when we would expect the Manxman to be challenging in the closing stages of a major race. It was the consummate way the Cavapult left the rest of the world's pro cyclists in his wake that was incredible.
Now where is the Manx missile? There he goes, over the top. Somebody just launched him, and forget it, because Mark Cavendish is streets ahead of the Tour de France when it comes to a sprint finish.
Cav outclassing the whole field on the Champs-Élysées a decade ago. But since 2018 and his last win, a series of misfortunes have hit the Manxman. From racing accidents to glandular fever, it seemed that race wins were behind him. But Mark has something in his makeup that is the property of great world champions, belief in his own ability. This year, after the last torrid 3 years, he set off again on the circuit. For those following him, it was a question of hope. For Cav, it was expectation. He had rejoined the De Koenig Quick-Step team he had such success with earlier in his career. He lost out narrowly on the Chelle de Prisse in Holland before flying to Turkey for this event. Stage one. He was in contention, with pundits starting to sit up and take notice once again. But yesterday, in stage two, the old magic came back. A flash in the pan or the start of something. Today, it seems it may be the latter.
Philipson in and essentially threw away the key, and then Mark Cavendish just opened it up, centre of proceedings, centre stage yet again, and doubled up his tally. Wonderful result for Mark Cavendish. 2 days in a row, and he could not have looked happier.
Cav can be emotional on occasion.
What an incredible feeling across the finish line, first time in 3 years. I'm just thankful, you know, I've got a group here that believes in me.
The question is, what now? The Tour of Turkey has four more stages, ending in Turgutrice at the weekend. After that, could we see him in the Tour de France once again as a contender? Time will tell for the 35-year-old phenomenon.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
19 minutes before 6 on Update, Microsoft's agreed to buy the speech recognition company Nuance Communications for $16 billion in a deal expected to speed its foray into healthcare tech. The two companies have teamed up on developing voice assistants for doctor visits that would eliminate the need for note-taking and automatically follow up with patients. The purchase will be Microsoft's biggest buy since getting hold of LinkedIn 5 years ago. Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce, retail, internet and tech giant, has been hit by a $2.8 billion fine over antitrust violations amid increasing scrutiny by Chinese government officials. The record penalty was followed by an announcement from Alibaba's fintech affiliate, Ant Group, that it's becoming a financial holding company in line with demands from the Chinese government. These are the latest moves as China reins in its tech firms and their tycoons after a decade of untrammeled growth.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European markets mixed as investors monitor key economic data. The US dollar fell, oil edged higher and gold rebounded. In corporate news, Just Eat Takeaway rallied. JD Sports Fashion advanced as it missed annual profit expectations, despite more people buying sports and casual wear in the lockdown. And the numbers at 5 o'clock, Ramsay Crookall report. The FTSE 100 flat at the close at 6,890. The DAX in Frankfurt up just over a tenth of a percent at 15,234. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, Ramsay Crookall report the Dow Jones Industrial Index down just over a third of a percent at 33,621. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up half a percent at 13,924. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up a tenth of a percent at 4,132. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 37.4 cents, €1 15.1 cents, and 19 South African rand 95.5 cents. And in commodities, gold up 0.7 of a percent at $1,714 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 1.3% at $63.95.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Lobbying the Manx government to ensure good value for the Manx taxpayer is the aim of the recently launched Manx Taxpayers Alliance. Its founders, former Liberal Vanin chairman Michael Josom.
It's certainly not a political party, but rather it's a not-for-profit organisation. You could think of it as a lobby group that is lobbying in favour of the interests of the people of the Isle of Man, in that there are lobby groups such as trade union groups or chambers of commerce or, you know, various other lobby groups that advocate for various special interests, whereas our special interest that we're here on behalf of is the ordinary Manx taxpayer.
Well, you talk about good value for money for the people of Man in your mission statement. What is it about taxes at the moment that presumably don't provide that good value for money?
Well, it's really important, especially through this pandemic period and as we come out, is that people of the Isle of Man get good value for the taxes that they pay, and that there are some really important services that are essential, such as justice, such as health, such as infrastructure and so on, that are absolutely essential. But it's important that we get good value for money. And so that's why in coming days, weeks and months, we're going to be looking at the value for money that the people of the Isle of Man get. We'll be scrutinising to, you know, ensure that infrastructure projects come in on budget, that come in on time, and that taxpayer money is spent wisely.
We talk about in the coming months, there is a general election this year. So is this something you're going to be lobbying candidates about, or will you be putting candidates forward yourself?
We won't be endorsing any candidates, but we will, you know, certainly encourage candidates to support the ideas that Manx taxes should be low, fair and simple, that the government should be transparent, and that we should get great value for money for taxpayers. And I hope that all candidates support those ideas.
And who else is involved in this? Is it just yourself at the moment, or is this a group of people?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people who have been who are supporting, and it's been really wonderful to see so many people throughout the Isle of Man have really expressed an interest of support. You know, these days, all the privacy rules, it's up to them if they want to out themselves. Certainly, we've had a groundswell of support, because I think a lot of people here on the Isle of Man, you know, want good value for money. They want the government to be transparent, and they want taxes to be low, fair and simple.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamay, Rhiannon Evans.
Bastamay, the key to equality between para and non-para sport is awareness. Kimberly Dean is a Manx resident and physio. She's also an athlete with dwarfism, and she's also a World Cup bronze medalist winning para power weightlifter for Team GB. Media coverage of disability sport dramatically improved in 2012 thanks to Channel 4's coverage of the Paralympics, something they'll continue to do so for the belated 2020 Games. However, Kim says a lot more awareness is still needed before equality between different kinds of athletes can really be reached.
Look at the stuff online and some of the other sports that perhaps don't make it front page, and just, yeah, be amazed at the skill levels of the athletes and what they're putting on display. I really would encourage people to check out the coverage later on in this year and challenge you to watch a sport you've never heard of before and just see the amount of skill that's on show.
The 2020 Paralympic Games are set to go ahead in Tokyo from the 24th of August until the 5th of September. Entries are now open for the 2021 Harbour to Harbour Walk. The community challenge is set to run on Sunday the 16th of May, starting at 10 a.m. in Castletown Square. Walkers will then follow a route along the southern coast and finish at the former Marine Biological Centre in Port Erin. People of all ages and abilities are being encouraged to sign up. If you're keen to register, you can find more details at manxradio.com on our sports page. Further afield in cricket, and England will play a one-off test against India as part of a multi-format series in June. Heather Knight's side will begin the series with a four-day red ball match in Bristol from the 16th till the 19th of June. They will then face India in 3 one-day internationals and 3 2020 internationals across the country. And the 10th anniversary of the Women's Super League is a source of pride for the FA, which will open a Hall of Fame to mark the occasion. Today marks a decade since the league was launched, when Arsenal beat Chelsea 1-0 in the top flight's first match. Since then, there have been 4 champions, with Arsenal and Chelsea both winning the league 3 times.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
11 minutes before 6. One departure from Ronaldsway Airport, the 5 o'clock to Liverpool. Logan Air left 10 minutes late, back at 6.40 this evening. It's the patient transfer plane. On the road to the biggies in Douglas, Quarterbridge Road, nighttime closures 6 till 6 tonight for resurfacing. Promenade works, all the details at myprom.im. You get the picture. And also, Paul Rose Bridge is closed until just before TT next year for replacement of, so watch out on Paul Rose Road. In Ramsey, Glen Elphin, Griffin Road and South Prom got some closures there for refurbishment work. And in Castletown, look out via Ellerslie Gardens and Maloo Street, and also West Hill, West Hill Avenue and West Hill Avenue Service Lane. All the details, by the way, go to manxradio.com. Click on News, click on Travel and click on Roads.
Keyside Tyres use Xmas to sanitise all vehicles and is available for your home or workplace. For tyre requirements, we can come to your drive or workplace with no call-out charge during the circuit break, or arrange collection and return. Call 66 4417.
We lose a big name in Manx politics this summer after serving as an MHK for Garth, Speaker of the House of Keys, and for the last 5 years, President of Tynwald. Steve Roden will leave the key post this summer. John Moss has been talking to Mr. Roden about his role, which most people associate with just the public ceremonial presence and overseeing Tynwald, but there's more to it than that.
There's quite a lot of activity behind the scenes in ensuring that the sittings are properly organised and that the material for debate is in proper order.
Has the role changed in the last 5 years, and is it in the process of changing at all?
The role is not in the political front line. We have two presiding officers, of course, and the Speaker represents constituents in his own right and is free to take part in debate. So the role of president is strictly neutral, having a casting vote only. But really, the president really has to ensure that the mood of the court is respected and that the business is properly managed.
Does the fact you wear robes and a long wig add to the position?
Well, I think what that does is emphasise that the role is all about the post and the position and not the individual. And it's the office that is important. Individuals come, individuals go. But the office of president is an important one. The institution of Tynwald is so important. If there's one thing that I've learned is that over the last 25 plus years, politicians come and politicians go, but the continuity of Tynwald itself as an institution. I've said on previous occasions that Tynwald is the most precious asset that the Isle of Man has. The ability for the island to legislate for itself and organise its business to ensure the best possible welfare and opportunities for the people of the Isle of Man. That can only be done by an autonomous body such as Tynwald, which of course has been going for centuries and, as I say, is the most precious asset that the island possesses.
7 minutes to six on Manx Radio. Some residents in Douglas feel the needs of commuters are prioritised over theirs when it comes to roadworks. The view of Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas, with projects including the replacement of Pullrose Bridge and the resurfacing of Quarter Bridge all taking place in his constituency.
There are a lot of projects going on at once, and the issue for Douglas residents, particularly those in central Douglas, is that sometimes it seems to us that the residents are the people who are thought of last. The notice is to them last in a way, and the focus is always on keeping the traffic into Douglas from people outside Douglas moving, rather than on making sure that it's healthy and happy for residents. But having said that, we had an issue yesterday with the first of the overnight closures, and I've got to be honest, the Department of Infrastructure Highways people seem to reach out to make things quieter and to deal with residents' issues, and they've promised that again for Thursday night. On Pullrose Bridge, obviously it's a massive trauma with the change in directions into McDonald's and all of those things around it, but I can assure residents that we've got some some ideas coming up from the Department of Infrastructure in response to Anne Corlett's motion to do with fundamentally rethinking how the roads work in the centre of Douglas. And I think this is going to be quite a major election campaign. Are Douglas streets for the people who live in Douglas, or are they just so that people can come into Douglas and get downtown quicker?
Do you think that's the crux of the matter, the balance between what the residents want and what the majority of the island wants, who have to drive in and out of Douglas maybe for work?
Yeah, very much so. So the Green Party particularly, but others as well, have been focusing on making streets livable again. And obviously it suits us to have our streets where we live in central Douglas livable. But if you're driving and you're a bit late for a meeting, or a bit late to go to work, or a bit late for shopping, you know, you're looking for quick runs through the town. And that doesn't suit us if we're trying to call the streets and the pavements our home outside our houses where we live. So yeah, it's a classic issue, and it needs to be solved. And the Department of Infrastructure has actually been working on some ideas that they're going to float with residents soon after the COVID-19 lockdown has finished, I hope.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
The most successful Manx pop group in music history is said to be honoured with a life-size statue in the capital. It's confirmed a sculpture dedicated to the Bee Gees will be unveiled in Douglas as soon as the border restrictions are lifted. Born in the Isle of Man, the trio are famed for hits like Stayin' Alive and Tragedy. They sold more than 120 million records worldwide, and the Douglas Council leader David Christian told local Democracy reporter Chris Gave it's important the Gibb brothers are recognised.
It is going on the Loch Promenade between the two guys. Gardens right opposite Regent Street, so it's going to be a major vocal point. They're going to look as if they're walking off the prom across the new promenade roadway and into Regent Street. Obviously, I've seen the smaller models of it. Going to look fantastic on a large base, the wording of Ellen Manning all around and other song titles all around as well. So it'll be something of real interest for people to come to. The statues themselves are completed, but the artist is reluctant to release them and have them shipped over without him accompanying them and then actually doing the installation. So literally as soon as our borders are open, the base is now ready to go in and the statues will be shipped over, and there'll be a new attraction as part of the newly refurbished Loch Promenade. Statues are one of those things. Some people love them, some people hate them, some people say, why spend that sort of money? But if you look at George Formby, if you look particularly at Norman Wisdom, tens of thousands of photographs taken with Norman over the years, sent all around the world, the Bee Gees will be a big draw just like that. We are very confident, and something that will be appreciated for many years to come in Douglas.
Are there plans for a grand opening?
Well, it was planned for last year. There was going to be the opening and the unveiling, which I think was originally going to be towards the end of April last year. And then in July, there was plans for Barry Gibb, who was going to fly into the island. He was going to be in the UK for the launch of his new album. And he was going to fly in and out on the same day, and he was going to come down and unveil a plaque, and he was very, very supportive. How grand the opening will be, I don't really know at this stage. My main aim is to, now it's completed, let's get it down there, because the last thing I want to do is for the works to be finished on the promenade, then we come in and start doing any other sort of works.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Rhiann Evans. I'm Andy Wint. And remember, all the stories you heard tonight and many more at manxradio.com, also available by the free Manx Radio app. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Update returns tomorrow evening at 5:30.
WINT.